May God bless you with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that you may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless you with tears to shed for those who suffer from pain, rejection, starvation, and war, so that you may reach out your hand to comfort them, turning their pain into joy. And may God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in this world, doing what others claim cannot be done. And may the blessing of God, who creates, redeems, and sanctifies, be upon you and upon all who you love and pray for this day and forevermore. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. You may. Sure.
He's really enthusiastic about speaking to you today, and so I don't think he needs an introduction, but I'll do it anyway. This is Buck Buchanan. He is missioner and outreach for our diocese. And Buck has come to us today to talk to us about outreach, but I'm not sure. Is it on?
Blanchard.
Oh,
I get it all the time. Buchanan is fine. It works.
Yes, Blanchard. Sorry, Buck.
That's okay.
And I don't know that how much we need to say about outreach, except that I sort of thought of it numerically. We as a congregation, I'm sure, has more than 10% of our members on our outreach committee. And I don't know how many churches across America have more than 10% of the people on a committee, but it means either we love committees a lot or we love outreach a lot. Buck began all the stuff he started, and I don't know that I can give any higher praise than this, but he was a Peace Corps volunteer in Togo. And a lot of people know about Rebecca and I and know that we have a sordid past. But we actually left the Central African Republic and went to Togo. That's where I proposed to her. And we met a lot of great Peace Corps volunteers there. And do you know how they party in Peace Corps in Togo? They had these parties and they called them chili and chuk. That's a traditional beer they drink there, until you puke. And with that, Mr. Buck Blanchard.
Great introduction.
That's awesome. I sometimes comment as I have had more and more difficulty traveling that I'm not 22 anymore. And for some reasons, I'm really glad I'm not. Good morning. So my name is Buck Blanchard, and I come from the office of the bishop in Denver. And it's just a thrill for me to be with you here this morning and to be with this congregation. Had a wonderful dinner last night at the Loomis' house, so thank you very much for your hospitality. But the outreach committee gathered, and I haven't had that much fun with a group of strangers in a long time. So it was just a really nice tribute to this church. I want to start this morning, and I hope I don't offend anybody with this, but I have a thing from this gospel. I got a little thing with John. You know, John, yes, ultimately he's a great disciple. He's ultimately a great apostle. He's ultimately a great saint. There are a zillion churches named for him. But every time I see John in a gospel, he's a little proud, right? He's got some chutzpah. You know, we see him arguing about who's the greatest. Later in the gospel, when it comes time for Easter, he actually gets in a foot race with Peter on his way to the tomb. And what the gospel focuses on when they reach the tomb is John was faster. He was quicker, and he beat Peter in the race. He calls himself the beloved disciple. And in today's reading, first off, he gets his brother to come along, which is an interesting brother-to-brother thing, and says to Jesus, "We want you to do exactly what we ask of you. Not, would you do us a favor? Not, can you help us out here a little bit? Not, hey, we got a great idea, we'd like to run up the flagpole with you." John doesn't do that. John says, "Jesus, you need to do exactly what I'm going to tell you to do," and that's it. He's a regular human being. He's a regular person. And he gets that pride going, and he gets that, you know, I am the fastest, I am the beloved disciple, I am the greatest of all the 12 disciples, and I want to sit at your right hand. And what does Jesus do? Very politely, very nicely, he says to John and James and ultimately to the other 10 disciples, "Guys, it's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about who's the greatest. It's not about who's the fastest. It's not about who's the most beloved. It's not about you. It's about your relationship to others. It's about how you serve other people. And Jesus came to serve, and he's saying to the disciples and to all of us, that's what we're supposed to be doing too. We're supposed to be serving. So what a thrill it is to be here on Outreach Sunday, because that's what outreach is all about. It's about serving someone else. It's about not making it about you, about making it about others. I've had a lot of different jobs in my career. I was a Peace Corps. I actually went to Boulder to school, so it's nice to be back in Colorado. I'll throw that in. I was a Peace Corps volunteer and worked, believe it or not, teaching farmers how to plow their fields with teams of oxen. Growing up in the city, I had no experience whatsoever, but that's what I did for 2 years. So for a while, I was in the farming business. I came back and went to law school and spent 13 years as a corporate lawyer. So for a long time, I was in the legal business. After that, I joined a manufacturing company that was making money and using that to invest in venture capital companies. So for a long time, I was in the venture business and in the finance business. But for the last 13 years, I've been working for the Diocese of Virginia and now the Episcopal Church in Colorado, doing mission and outreach work. And I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. But my job really is to work with you, churches and parishes and individuals throughout the Diocese of Colorado, to help you say yes to your call in mission and outreach. Sounds simple? The good thing is it is simple. Because all of us have a calling to do something, but a lot of times we get stuck between, yes, I feel called by God to do this, and, okay, I'm really going to do this. So my job is to get people from that stage of recognizing they have a call to actually following it, to actually saying yes to that call. And I'll do anything it takes to get you to say yes. I don't make the call. I just try to facilitate people saying yes. If you need some help raising money, I can help you do that. If you need me to put you in touch with somebody else who does something similar to that, that's fine. If you need me to to lead a preliminary trip somewhere to try to understand better what a relationship might be, that's fine. If you want to be sure you get an aisle seat on the airplane, I'll help you book that. It doesn't matter. Somebody told me once, Buck, your job is to get people on the plane. Because once they're on the plane or the car or the van or whatever it is going somewhere, Holy Spirit takes care of the rest. And they will be changed forever by dint of the fact that they're engaged in mission work. But you got to get them in the car. You got to get them in the plane. You got to get them in that aisle seat that they covet so that they can go to where they need to be going. So somebody asked me the other day, okay, you were in the legal business, you were in the finance business, you were in the farming business, you were in the venture business. What business are you in today? I used to answer that by saying we're in the service business. And that's what today's gospel speaks of. But I don't think that's quite broad enough. So here's my answer today. What business am I in? First off, I'm in the same business you are. And that's the love business. We're all in the love business. What does Jesus command us, right? Love your God with all your heart and all your mind, all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. That's it. That's all we're supposed to do. We're supposed to love our God, and we're supposed to love the other, love our neighbor. And it doesn't say love your neighbor as long as they're within 5 miles. It doesn't say love your neighbor as long as they're more than 5,000 miles. It just says love your neighbor. That's everybody. And that's it. It is as simple as that. Our calling is to love one another. But here's something that someone taught me a while back. You never really love someone until you get to know them. You never really love someone until you get to know them. And once you get to know them, it's really hard not to love them. It just comes naturally. So a big piece of our job is to recognize that if we're going to love the other, we got to go out and meet them. We got to go where they are. And sometimes that's 200 yards away. Sometimes it's 200 miles away. Sometimes it's 10,000 miles away. It doesn't matter. We got to go to people and we got to sit down and we got to get to know them. And how do you get to know them best? You have a cup of coffee. You ask them about themselves. You find out what their life is like and what their dreams are like and what they worry about. And I can tell you right now, I've traveled extensively around the Anglican Communion, around the world. It's the same thing that you want. Every single person on this planet is looking for the same things we are. right? They want a better life for their kids. They want good food and good water. They want health care and to be safe. They want peace, right? They don't want to live in a war zone. It's not complicated. But when you get to know people, you come to love them, whether they're next door or across the state or across the country or across the planet. And so my job is to encourage more of that within the Episcopal Church in Colorado. And there are a lot of folks here who are doing, a lot of parishes who are doing incredible outreach and mission work where they're out there getting to know their communities and the farther community beyond their beyond just their own town. But I got to tell you something. This sermon is very different than it would have been 24 hours ago. But you know why? I was ready, like I do with a lot of churches, to talk to people about how they aren't doing enough. And you know what I found out last night at dinner? That's not the case with this church. If we're in the love business, and the love business is mission and outreach to other people, you guys are in the Fortune 500. You're actually probably in the Fortune 100. And maybe for small companies, you're in the Fortune 10. This place is an amazing church doing incredible things that are out there. The list I got last night, I came home and I started writing things down about, you know, just everything that y'all do with Bonnie's House and Nepal. And I'm meeting with your missionary to the Dominican Republic this week for coffee. The things you do with animals, the things you do with creation, the things you do with homeless. It's great. And that's the business that we're in. So to begin with, I want you to give yourself a pat on the back and recognize how well you do what we're called to do, how well you love others, and how that has changed this congregation. I don't even know what this congregation was like before, but I can tell you it's changed. I could see it at dinner last night. I could see it walking in here this morning. As someone said to me, everybody loves each other so much, we never start church on time. We're all out there yapping and talking and, you know, kind of getting along. We'll get to church eventually, but we love one another enough to where we're going to be a few minutes late. That's fabulous. That's really, really encouraging. And I got to tell you, it's special. You don't see that in a lot of churches. You just don't. And it's a joy to be with you to experience that. Okay, that's the good news. The other shoe to fall is this. There's always more you can do. Right? If we're in the love business, there's no outer limit to that. There's no way that we can say we're doing enough. You can say you're doing well. That's fine. And you can say, you know, I'm the fastest. That's fine. But there's always more that can be done. So I'd like to encourage all of you today to think about other ways that every single member of this congregation can be involved. How many people are here this morning? Maybe 50? Something like that? 50 out of 111 people on the books. That percentage, almost 50%, is probably twice what a normal congregation is on Sunday morning. Usually it's about a third or a quarter of the members on the books show up on Sunday morning. Here it's almost half. That's incredible. But there's another half out there who aren't here this morning. And there's some folks in this congregation who have a call from God to be involved. And you all need to think hard and long and constantly about how to get them involved, right? If you're doing something and it's a fascinating ministry, invite someone else to come in with you. Because I guarantee you there are people who are sitting out there who are thinking, I sure wish I was invited to be part of that ministry. But they're not quite willing to raise their hand and say, put me in, coach. So it's for you to reach out to them to say, come join us as we do this particular ministry. How do you get kids involved? You know, if you want to find some really fascinating ministries, put some kids in charge. Because they are fearless. One quick story. I worked with a church one time who took their youth down to the Dominican Republic, and each of the kids stayed with families. Had a great time. They worked on some construction projects. They got to know these families. All the kids just thought it was fabulous. The next year, the adults came to the kids and said, let's go, when are we going back to the Dominican Republic? And the kids said, we don't want to go back to the Dominican Republic. Well, the adults were just crestfallen. They're like, you're kidding, we had this great trip, it was all awesome. You know, tell me what the deal is. And they said, well, we've been talking offline without you when we got you to leave the room a few times. And we decided we don't want to go back to the Dominican Republic. We want to bring our friends from the DR here. Well, what did the parents do? You can't do that. I mean, you got to get visas. It's too expensive. You got to get forms. You got to sign off. You got blah, blah, blah. And the kids said, that's okay. Let's do that. You need to get visas? Let's start cracking on the visas. Here we go. After a while, they had arranged for 12 kids, the same 12 that they visited, to come to the United States. This is back in Virginia. Stayed with 12 different families. And those kids all together worked on a Habitat for Humanity house together. Okay. As grown-ups, we would never have thought of that. We would have been too scared. They weren't. Fearless. Figure out ways to get other groups within the church involved. Maybe there's a way for the choir to do something super special. Maybe there's a way for the altar guild to trade items on the altar with one of your partner churches in the DR or elsewhere. There's something for every single person to do. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit reaches out and touches us. And we've all felt it, right? You've all felt that little voice inside you. And you go, gosh, I know what that's calling me to do. The second step is a little harder. Do it. Do it. You got to say yes. I mean, think about it. If you really think you're called by God, and my wife hates this expression, but I say, if you really think you're called by God, like capital G, God, and God says, this is what you're called to do, how good an answer is it to say, well, you know, I hear you, and that's really nice, God. I really appreciate the calling, but it's really complicated. I don't think I can get my act together. We don't have enough size. We don't have enough critical mass. I don't think we have enough money. We'll probably raise it. I don't even think I can get vestry approval to make that happen. So I tell you what, even though you've called me to be engaged in this, I think we just bag it. Let's just blow it off. I can't handle that. What kind of an answer is that? That's not an answer. That's not an answer. And it's not an answer you should give to anybody. It certainly isn't an answer you should give to God. The thing to say to God is, okay, put me in, you know, here I am, and go out and take care of it. I'll leave you with this one anecdote of something that happened to me just this week. My wife's out of town. We moved from Virginia to Colorado just in January after living in a house for 30 years, raising four kids back in Virginia. We packed everything up in a van. We shipped it all out here. We rented a house. We took it all out of the van. We threw it in the garage. And for the last 10 months, we've been going through that garage systematically, getting rid of all the, you know what, the detritus that we'd collected over the last 35 years of our lives. So I opened up a box this week, and in the box were all the old VHS tapes that we used to sort of drug our kids when they were younger. We had four kids in 3 years, so there were a lot of children there, and so there were a lot of cassette tapes going in the machine playing Disney movies. And one of them, and so I was throwing them out because who has a VHS anymore and who really wants to watch Pinocchio? But one of them was The Lion King. Great movie, great play. It's Hamlet, right? Set to Disney. And there's a great scene in there where the young lion, Simba, for those of you who remembered, you should remember this part. Simba goes off to Hakuna Matata land, where everything is like roses and green leaves, and everything's, you know, just hunky-dory, and even his girlfriend lion comes out to visit him, and I mean, you know, life is good for him. He's got a lot of troubles back home, but he's not worried about those because he's in Hakuna Matata land. And one day he goes to the river, and he looks in the river or the lake, and there comes an image of his father. James Earl Jones, his great voice in the tape. And out of the clouds, here comes Mufasa, the father. And the father looks down at Simba and essentially says, you know, you need to go back to your home, to where the troubles are, to be in relationship with those people and to do your job. But here's what he says. He says, Simba, you are more than what you have become. Say that again. You are more than what you have become. So his encouragement was, go be more than what you are today. Go be more than what you are today. So I'll say to you, members of Nativity Episcopal Church in Grand Junction, Colorado, I promise you, today, you are more than what you have become. So the question you need to answer is this. If you know today, this morning, that you are more than what you have become, who will you be tomorrow? Who will you be tomorrow? Amen.